for Steve Jobs, for example, for him, the biggest thing that made the difference was that he not only passionately believed in the ideas and his own vision and the technology and all of that thing, but it was that he believed that it was valuable to the audience and he was presenting that. And that is what made him good to listen to. It's what made him authentic, and it's what made people connect and listen. Because at the end of the day, if you are talking with passion about your idea, but why it's good for the audience and how it's going to help them, and looking at it from their point of view and relating to their point of view, then people are going to hear that.
Welcome to the Engage to Innovate podcast. Hi, I'm Judy Selmont. You know, our world evolves through innovation, and as business leaders, we have to step out of our comfort zone, which is never easy heading into totally new territory. But this podcast is all about helping you tackle that adventure. We talk to people who have done it before and those who have worked with innovators. So let's get started on our next journey of discovery. Welcome to the Engage to Innovate podcast. I'm Judy Selmans. You know, one of the key aspects to innovation is being able to present your idea to the world. And to many of us, that is as scary as stepping off a cliff. But for your idea to reach the heights it deserves, you need to take that first step. And that's where today's guest comes in. Amanda Meyer is an experienced actor and director, and through her innovative approach, has made those skills available to everyone through her company Rewards Drama. So a big welcome to the Engage to Innovate stage, Amanda.
Thank you.
That's a pleasure. Look, you know, we've actually been keeping in touch for the last couple of years. I've been watching you progress with Rewards Drama and seeing where you're going and all of that sort of stuff. And, of course, you'll remember that my business and life partner, Eric's, who occasionally shares this stage with me, did your online course, and it gave him so much confidence to get in front of the camera and be himself. So I owe you a massive thank you for that. So now when I say we need to do this video, he doesn't sort of run away and hide in the corner. He's actually all up for it. So yay, thank you.
Yeah, always helpful.
Yeah, look, what is it that little bit of training and skill makes us so much more confident, doesn't it? So what is it that I guess you bring to the table that makes, because I mean, we're all passionate about our ideas, but I had a bad habit as well, is that you rave on and on and on and on and about your idea, and all of a sudden you realize you're the only one as passionate as you're the only one that passionate, and everyone else has fallen asleep. So, is there tips you can share with us?
Yeah, of course. Well, actually, one of the things you just said is one of the major keys, and that is about being passionate.
Right.
One of the biggest mistakes, I suppose you could call it, that I see, and I'm sure you've seen, is when people get on stage or they've got a camera on them, they all of a sudden turn into somebody else.
Yeah.
They turn into presentation mode and I need to deliver this information, or they turn into kind of a scared zombie who is saying the words, but for all intents and purposes, they're not even present.
Yeah.
So the trouble with that, of course, is that it's very boring for the listener or the viewer. And it's very hard to engage and get interested in what it is that they're sharing. And the brain just naturally starts to switch off after a certain amount of this. You know, it just can't stay on the what's being delivered.
Yeah.
So passion is one of the absolutely essential things. But it's not just about whether you are passionate about it. It's about making your audience understand why they should be passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you do that is not only by being your authentic self, which is obviously a very important starting place, but then you need to show them with your words, your voice, your expression, your inflection, your emotion, your body language. If you're on a stage, then that also includes all of your stage craft, the stage positioning, the levels, the body language, all of those things all come into play and they all work together and they need to all be there and all be telling the same message at the same time so that your audience isn't confused, so that they can actually stay focused and engaged, and that so that message and passion is what is actually heard.
Yeah.
Because there is a big difference between word delivery and your message delivery.
So it's the it's really interesting you say. For a start, I'm going to go, when you think about it in all those different perspectives, all the different elements that go into making a good presentation, actually almost scares the living pants out of you thinking about it all, thinking, how can I possibly be perfect at all of those things? Is it really a matter of breaking down each element and understanding it? How do you become a master of all of that?
Well, that is actually where my training comes in and why it is unique and, your word, innovative. And that is because the acting and the directing skill set is all about that. Everyone talks in that world about learning your craft.
Yeah.
And the idea is that you learn all of the psychology and all of the basics, all of the underlying elements, how they all work individually and how they work together and how to put them together. And then once you have that background knowledge, you can go into any role, in the business world, any talk, presentation, pitch, on camera, training, webinar, whatever it might be. And you can go in with that background knowledge so that almost on a autopilot, you are putting all of these things together. And you need to understand all of these things and know how to utilize all of these things in order to be effective and in order to do it in a natural way and let your passion and your authentic personality actually shine and come through.
Yeah, that's you can always tell that somebody that's just totally chilled and relaxed and going with it versus the person who's got this monotone voice and you're
absolutely.
Oh yeah. And I think so many of us that have been in business or had to do a presentation in front of the team or whatever have got thrown into it and it's your project, yeah. Off you go, you present it, that sort of thing. And and then how many times have we all pushed these days on social media to do our own videos and some are good and some, let me just say, are pretty average. No offense to those. But I think everyone's got their own different perspective on what's good and what's not. But in the end, yes, the engagement has to be there. And it's just so important. I guess in some of the things I've done and is in pitching your business idea, and pitching your innovative idea, for example, to potential investors and things. And actually, I'm talking to a guy on the podcast next week who is just totally, I mean, you can tell by his videos and the way he's pitching that this is almost a natural at this sort of thing. But some people aren't. So, it makes me think of, an introvert and an extrovert, for example. But then I hear that a lot of introverts are actors. So,
yeah, that is actually a lot of actors are naturally incredibly shy people. And for some of them, they actually got into acting for that reason alone. It wasn't that they had a love of it. It wasn't that they were, really interested in the idea of being an actor or whatever. It was that they know or they've heard, someone's told them, whatever it is, that acting brings you this set of skills. And it can bring you confidence. It can help you with your voice, obviously, your expression, and just your general presence. And it just gives you all of these elements. And so for a shy person who maybe isn't great at talking to people, would rather just stay at home by themselves, these are invaluable skills.
Yeah.
And there are some people who have some very big names, actually, who are exactly like that. And some of them have even gotten into it because they struggled with things like stutters. And then they've discovered, you know what? I love this. There is a real freedom in this. And I love this feeling of being confident and being able to express this. And they've actually turned out to be some of our biggest stars in Hollywood today.
I think that's quite motivating. Actually, I'd love you to name drop who is, if you can think of any, that only because I think that just drives us to go, well, wow, if they can do it, so me in my little corner can do it. And I guess it's do you put on when you, after you've name dropped, tell me who you, do you put on like a coat? I guess I visualize someone putting on a coat and going, I'm now this different person. I'm becoming someone different. I mean, if you can't be that, is that what it's like in a way?
It can be for actors. Sometimes that is the case. Now, you asked me to name drop. Now I'm sort of racking my brains as to who exactly. But the first one that came to mind is Tom Cruise. He is known and has not been shy about the fact that he was very shy.
Right.
And I think it might have even been him that had the terrible stutter as well. I could be wrong though, so don't quote me on that one. And then there's people like, you know, Steven Spielberg, who obviously is a director, but it's the same sort of, you know, thing and reasoning. There was someone I was talking with recently about from Gilmore Girls, Alexis Bledel.
Right.
And she was so shy that I think she was about 8 or something. Her parents enrolled her in community theatre because they were like, we've got to figure out a solution. We've got to, you know, come up with something to push her out of her shyness. And she was just so, you know, inside herself that it was something they actually looked at to help her.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
What great parents. Yeah. That's a very cool thing to do.
That's right. But there's a lot of actors who are introverts, whether or not they, you know, went into it because they were an introvert or shy. People like Tom Hanks, Harrison Ford, Glenn Close, sort of trying to think. Trying to remember.
Yeah, no, that's great, because I think it just helps us thinking, you know, for those of us listening that are just like, oh, I just shrivel up when I, you know, the thought of going on a stage, it's like my own company, I just want to create. And particularly if we're entrepreneurs and we've come up with this innovative idea, many of those sorts of people, and I can totally appreciate this, you want to create it in your own space. And, you know, you've gone and talked to those that where you've got a comfort level with, but when it comes to telling the world about it, you're just going, oh, it's, you know, they're a bit shyer about it. But
yeah.
These days in social media, we have no choice but to get out and promote ourselves, do we?
That's
really
right.
We have to get out there and put it aside. So I think that's what I really appealed to me about what you're doing, and of course your innovative approach to, you know, coming from that director actors background and helping people use those skills so that we can all overcome these fears and shout our great ideas from the rooftops.
Exactly.
So,
I think it's interesting that some of the actors in Hollywood that we admire the most and admire their acting the most are often those who are shy and introverted. And of course, now that I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking of more and more people, things like like Nicole Kidman and Johnny Depp.
Right.
These are all people who, Keira Knightley, they're all people who, you know, if you actually looked at it at face value, you could see, oh, yeah, okay, they look like an introverted kind of shy person. But then you put them on stage or on camera and we are wowed by their skills and their craft and their immersion in their characters. And all that really comes down to is knowing the skill set so well that you are free to let go and to be confident and to be seen and heard. Now, obviously for actors, they're trying to put on a different personality, or not a different personality, a different persona. They are playing somebody else. But the same reason that they are free to do so and do it so well and do it so confidently is the same reason why it works for those in the business world. Because if you do need to go on camera or pitch to the board or, you know, stand on a stage, whether it's, you know, in front of 10 people or 10,000, the same things apply. You are suddenly very, very aware of yourself. And you're looking at yourself and your feelings and everything that you are suddenly noticing is enlarged in your mind's eye. You know, my heart is racing, my breath is shallow, all of these things. And it's because we are so consumed in our own heads and so aware of ourselves. But what makes the difference is if you have the skill set and the confidence to know that you're doing it well and you don't need to worry about that side of things, then you are free to do it yourself and be yourself. And you know also that in presenting it and being yourself as you do, you are doing it well, which in turn also gives you confidence. And all of those things actually work together to get you out of your own head. And it's when you're out of your own head that you can be the most confident and the most free and ironically the most natural and authentic. And that is what your audience is going to see, and that's what they're going to relate to, and that's why they're going to connect to you and to your message.
Yeah. I of course, Steve Jobs is probably the most prominent personality that comes to mind when you think of a great presenter. And I do remember, though, he would practice. Is that a big part of it?
There is definitely an element of practice. However, this is one of these things that frustrates me no end because everywhere, if you look online or you read an article or you get advice from someone about public speaking, inevitably somebody is going to say, just practice, just do it scared and just keep on practicing until you're more comfortable with it.
Yeah, I've read
now,
that.
Now, for me, yes, everybody said that. But for me, I find that incredibly frustrating and misguiding because practicing something over and over and over, sure, sooner or later, you're going to get to the point where you've done it 10 million times, so you're naturally going to be feeling a bit less nervous, a little bit more comfortable. But if you haven't learnt to do it well, then all you're doing is doing it without you maybe feeling quite as nervous about it. And that's actually not the solution. That isn't a solution. It doesn't help your audience in the slightest if you're feeling just a little bit less scared.
Yeah.
And practicing habits that are unhelpful or things are maybe not kind of working well together with your words and your body language or just the way you're presenting in your stage positioning, for example, or how you present on camera. If you don't know the basics, if you don't know how to utilize the camera, and if you aren't, you know, if you don't understand the basics about sound and lighting and, you know, just simple composition, then you're not doing yourself a favor. And you can practice until the cows come home, but it's not going to make you better at it. It might make you a little bit better, but it's not actually going to make you master it. And that's why I use that wording all through my website and in my promotions. I talk about mastering your platform because anybody can get a little bit better at something by doing it repeatedly, but that doesn't actually mean that you're doing it well.
Yeah, actually, no, you're very right, I guess. So what else was Steve Jobs just a natural then that what he was practicing was the right things? He had the right ingredients. Do you know much about him? Did he actually do any training? Like, I don't know much about
him. I don't know that he did training. I would have to look that up.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I'm putting you seriously on the spot there.
You are. You're totally putting me on the spot here. I don't know everything.
No, well, that's good to know, actually. Makes you feel once more in control if you don't know everything. But I just,
that's right.
But are there people that are totally natural?
Yeah, there are. There are people who are, I suppose, you know, a little while ago, maybe before the digital age, they're the kind of people we would have referred to as natural salesmen because they had a charisma and an energy and a confidence. But if you actually look at what it is that they're doing, they are all learnable skills, and they're skills that you know, obviously, you know, what I believe in strongly, the acting and directing skill set, because what you're learning when you're doing all of those things is how to be approachable and warm and engaging and make your audience feel listened to and valued, and that you are there for them. Now, all of those things are, well, for Steve Jobs, for example, for him, the biggest thing that made the difference was that he not only passionately believed in the ideas and his own vision and the technology and all of that thing, but it was that he believed that it was valuable to the audience, and he was presenting that. And that is what made him good to listen to. It's what made him authentic, and it's what made people connect and listen. Because at the end of the day, if you are talking with passion about your idea, but why it's good for the audience and how it's going to help them, and looking at it from their point of view and relating to their point of view, then people are going to hear that. And then if you're outside of your own head enough that you are free to express properly and clearly, and your passion can come out and your personality can come out, then all of those things work together and actually make it an effective message that your audience is able to connect with.
That makes so much sense. You know, one of I was thinking of all the different elements, and something just flashed in my head that's probably one of my worst things, is that I get passionate about something and I tend to talk at a million miles an hour and I'm really, really fast, and then I'm the only one who's getting it and everyone else is looking at me really weirdly, like, and I go, slow down, Jude, slow down. I guess that's just part of it, is yes, passion, but try and manage it. One of my favorite speakers is Barack Obama. Listening to him and the pauses that he has in his presentation, and some may say that, you know, I've listened to many who do pause and it might sound a bit slow, but it's giving, what is the value of the pause, for example?
Well, there are actually quite a few things that you just mentioned there. Voice speed.
Yep.
And the power of the pause, and also the idea about you being passionate about something and how well you know your content. So there's three things in there.
Sorry, that's a big question then, wasn't it?
That's fine. All of those things are covered in the rewards drama training as well. All of them are in the basic skill set that an actor and director are taught, because if you know the basic skill set, if you go and you study all of the things like your voice speed and you know how to utilize your voice properly, not only your speed but your enunciation and your inflection, your volume and varying it and why and when and how and all of that sort of thing, as well as things like the power of the pause, why you use it, when to use it, how it is actually so valuable. And there are a couple of things in the pause. Firstly, it makes people, perhaps if they've, you know, tuned out just a teeny bit, it makes people subconsciously, instantly snap back to attention, because it breaks it up and the brain automatically goes, oh, okay, something's happening.
Yeah.
Or something's about to happen and I need to pay attention. It also adds weight to something that you've just said. So if you're delivering, you know, a key line in the address, like you said, Barack Obama or anybody else, if you're delivering a key important line that you want to make sure people hear and understand, you want to let people have a couple of seconds for it to sink in and feel the weight of what you've just said and really take it in. The other thing it does is it helps the brain just catch up a little bit, your audience's brain I'm talking about here.
Oh, probably in mine too, by the way, but...
Yeah, that's right. But if you give them a few seconds, then they can catch up with your last point, digest it, process it, and be ready for the next one. And in a global world, this is even more important, because everybody has a different accent to you. And sometimes your brain needs just that little bit extra time to actually decipher things properly.
That actually makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And then you've also got the aspect of using it to work with people's emotions. And again, this is, you know, part of the training. It's you need to understand how you can utilize these things in order to utilize them effectively. And that's the point of all of these things. You're learning a skill set so that you can then go in and do it on autopilot. And the last point that was in there was knowing your content really well. And you actually mentioned this earlier as well. If you are delivering something on script, or if you're just going, you know, sort of freestyle. And always it is going to be more authentic and more engaging if you're going freestyle, because you're getting out of your own head, you're getting out of your own way, you're getting out of the, you know, the set format of the script, and you are giving the conversation or the presentation or whatever it is a chance to breathe and organically come about. And that's another thing that actors are always talking about, you know, the organic process. But it's all, you've got to have your starting place. You've got to have the foundations right. If you don't know the foundations and how to utilize them and what to do when and how and all of these things, then you're not going to be doing it as effectively as you could be. And you might actually be making some real blunders. But if you know all of these things, actually, I had a client a while ago use this analogy, and I've totally stolen it from them. They said, because we were going through the training and I was explaining all the different aspects and kind of giving an overview, and they were like, wow, there's just so much in there. Like, I had no idea there was this much stuff in there. I knew some of the basics, but oh my goodness. And they were feeling a little bit overwhelmed. And so we talked about the fact that you, if you learn all of these skills that all feel like individual things, and then you bring them together. And once you've done that, and then you're utilizing them together and you're practicing it together and actually making it all work, after a bit of time, it comes together and feels completely natural. And it's to the point you no longer even think about it. And their analogy they came up with then was, oh, I get it. It's like when you start learning to drive a manual car. Because when you first start learning to drive, it's like, I've got to pay attention to the gear, and that involves the clutch. Okay. And oh, and the brake and the accelerator, and wait, no, 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 I've got to, they've got to work together. Okay. All right. All right. Okay. So accelerator, yes, no, yep. All right. So that part. Oh, wait a minute. What about things like indicating? What about things like head check? What about position? Where am I on the road? Where is everyone else? What else is going on?
And oh my God, you want me to turn around the corner?
That's right.
I remember the first corner I turned when driving. So there you go.
Yeah, exactly. And it just feels like so many things. But you fast forward to 5 years later, and I can guarantee that you're going to be changing gears and prattling on to whoever's in the car, listening to the radio, whatever you're doing, and not even thinking about it. And the reason is you've learned all of those individual skills, you understand how they work together, and now you are doing it so well and so competently that you can do it without thinking, and you can actually focus on the other things and be present in that moment.
It's almost,
and being present in that moment is one of the most important things, obviously, to being authentic and reaching your audience.
Yeah, that it's almost like this should be, Amanda, put into like school curriculums, that we should be taught how to, you know, just communicate, because it's really basic communication skills, isn't it, to a large degree?
Yeah, there's definitely all of that in there. There's communication skills that are, like, I'm talking about the stage and on camera, because obviously that's, you know, such a big thing for so many people. But yes, these skills translate into every area. They are, if you're in the a meeting in a room of five people, you can still utilize all of these things. And once you have it, it's, you've got it for life. You can use it in everything. And as you say, it really is a valuable, essential skill.
Yeah.
And in schools and things like that, you know, I was reading an article the other day, actually, again, everyone at the moment is talking about interpersonal skills and soft skills being so much more important, even to the point that people are starting to hire people who have good soft skills over the people that have the degrees, simply because they know this person is going to be a valuable member of the team and the company, whatever it is, and I'm actually going to be able to work with them. They're going to actually be able to get the job done. I can teach them the skills they need. Yeah. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I just want to know that the person themselves is going to be capable of this stuff and capable of doing the things I need them to do. It's just, it blows my mind actually how often I come across this sort of thing. I better not say who. I was talking to a very large corporation just recently, and they were talking about how they have a lot of different departments.
Yep.
And they have very large budgets, and they need to have each department come up with new ideas and systems and processes and things like that. But then they're required to present that to the board, mm-hmm. to pitch the idea and get the funding for the project or the year or whatever. And they were saying what was amazing for them and why they'd come to me is that some of these people are literally genius level and in their field. Mm. And they are incredible. They know their stuff inside out. But you put them in front of a panel of four people and they can't present it.
Yeah.
Which is just mind-blowing that such an essential skill is being left out of our training and our schools and our university system, because the reality is, especially these days, yeah. and especially with the digital aspect to everything as well, we need to be able to communicate well. We need to be able to present our ideas effectively. We need to be able to reach our clients, our audience, our board, the public, whoever it is. We need to be able to do that. And every single person these days, you know, you can't kind of get away with being, you know, the tech genius in the background anymore.
Yeah.
You need to be able to present. You need to be able to express your ideas.
Yeah.
And make other people understand it.
No, that it's a pretty scary world if that's your environment. And even in our work we do with innovation, you know, the business owner or the leader, you have to be able to motivate your team, and so you need to get them excited exactly. and present to them. I mean, there's just so many aspects to presentation yeah. that I think so many people just put it in a hole and go, you know, oh, it's about having a TED talk or whatever. And yeah. you know, it's not just TED talks. It's, you say, it's absolutely everything, even having a team mm-hmm. meeting and getting them mm-hmm. excited and motivated about the journey and
that's yeah, right.
I can't actually think of one single aspect that doesn't involve communicating and sharing yeah. your idea and getting people excited. And you're right, these are skills that are so important to learn. If I think back at people I've worked with, and some are really good at presenting maybe within a small team because they've just done it that way for a long time, but then mm-hmm. they're a slightly, you know, put a camera on them and their whole world just dies. And so it's yes, taking all these skills that you're teaching and putting them into every environment and making it you're right about the analogy, your client coming up with the analogy of driving the car, putting them yes. all together and making it normal part of your life. I just can't. I was really fortunate when I was young that I had an aunt that taught me how to communicate. And although not to the level that you do, I was, and I guess I've, you know, background in more sales and marketing and stuff, so it was a bit more natural. However, there's lots I still need to learn and should learn, and I think we can all learn stuff, actually.
I mean, I remember you mentioned Eric's doing yep. training with me earlier, but I remember with him he was saying because he's presented on radio and he's very comfortable with that and he's fine, you know, with certain aspects of what he had yeah. to do. But for him, it was, as you said, putting him on camera.
Yeah.
And he would just freeze up. And giving somebody the gift of being able to express themselves is just, I love what I do. I love that I can help people yeah. with that. Because Eric's is And I hope I'm not saying too much here.
I did ask him permission, by the way.
Oh, good. He is one of these naturally shyer, more introverted types of personalities. Yep. And I remember very early on in the training, he actually asked me how on earth this could work for him, how he could be confident on camera because he is a shy person. And he didn't, from him and so many people who come to this, to my training to begin with, they have the idea that they need to put on a persona, that they need to be somebody else. Mm. And particularly because I talk about, you know, it's the actor's skill set. Sometimes, you know, your brain automatically goes to that. But I explained to him, no, actually it's the exact opposite. What it is, what this training does is give you the skills to be you well, to present who you are, your ideas, be authentic and get it across in a way that people are going to be able to hear and understand it. So when I'm taking people through this training, giving people the gift of you and your personality, your worth, your voice, your uniqueness, your who you are as a person is more than enough. And you don't need to change who you are. That's not what we're doing here. What we're doing is giving you the skill set so that you can confidently be who you are and be proud to be who you are. No one else can be you. No one else has your voice. No one else has your passion and your ideas, and the world needs everybody. And finding people who are just so quiet or fearful or just, you know, really just not good at it.
Yeah.
And therefore they are not letting their expression be heard in the world, I think is actually a very sad thing.
Yeah, I totally agree, because we've all got lots to share, all of us. As you just said, we're all different, we're all individual, and we all deserve an opportunity to have our voice heard. But if you're not feeling confident, so you're hiding, so if you're out there and you're hiding because you really don't think you can do this, I can't recommend Amanda Moore enough, because it's actually, I know Eric's just bragged about you afterwards, because he said you were so kind and gentle with him and didn't make him feel like he wasn't good enough or that he needed to be someone different, and so credit to you on that, because that's really, really important. So if you've got an idea, if you're doing any business sort of presentation and trying to share any concept in this world, and actually even if you're not even in business and you want to be somebody when you want to communicate at all with anybody, you need to learn these skills today more than ever before, because the quiet ones just, you know, you see it all. I find frustrating sometimes in business. I've seen it a lot where the what might be seen as someone who maybe doesn't have quite the skills, but they're a really good self-promoter, if I put it that way, and they seem to get the gigs or whatever, and you go, how did that happen? And then you go, well, if you haven't told anybody you're there and you're better, then you've got to learn the skills to get out there and tell your story.
Absolutely. Yes, exactly. He who makes the most noise wins, huh?
Yes. As sad as that may be to some of us that are quieter and like to just quietly, you know, chunk away and do the job, it's just not going to, you know, it's a lovely idea, but if no one knows about it, it doesn't mean anything. So,
well, that's exactly what it is. It's not that you need to be making a lot of noise and be showy, or, you know, as we just covered, someone or a personality that is not your own. What matters is that people know about you. If people don't know about you and they don't understand what it is that you do or you're offering or you can contribute, then how are they going to do anything about it? They're going to go with whoever is out there making the noise, because that's all that they see. That's the only choice that they have. And that's another reason why it's so important. If you want to be heard, you need to actually be heard. You know, it makes all the difference in the world if you feel like you have the skills and the knowledge to do this and to do it well and to be confident in your ability to share your message. and make sure that you are there to serve your audience. That just makes all the difference in every single area: stage, camera, in the room, in the meeting, pitching to a board, retaining your employees, sharing your passion, talking to the media, the press, just whatever it may be in any area. It's just, you've got to do it. You've got to have that skill, and you've got to be confident in yourself and know you're doing it well.
Yeah. Yeah, really fantastic advice, really, Amanda. So thank you. Hey, look, I want, before you go, I want to pick your brain. So it's something that's got me. When I've watched a movie and I'm watching an actor do his long monologue, and I thought, how on earth do they remember? I mean, are they remembering it word for word? Sorry, it's just something that, that gets me every time I watch something, and I can't even remember half a dozen words most of the time. So is there a trick?
Well, there are lots of tricks.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But there are actually two things in there. So firstly is your basic memory retention, obviously. Some actors, because they are able to rely on their skill set and therefore portray the emotion of the character in the scene, they can literally learn big blocks of big chunks of text. And it's almost like a mindless learning of the words, but then as they're delivering it, they're relying on their skill set to deliver it effectively. So that's one way that's done. But for other people, and this is I mentioned earlier as well, it's actually about just knowing your content so well that you're not exactly word for word, but you are able to confidently say most of it and most of it pretty similar, because you're just so familiar with what it is that either this scene or this presentation is actually supposed to be presenting and what the idea is that you're supposed to be getting across. So if you know it inside out and back to front, you don't need to rely on the script and learn it word for word. It's more you're learning the idea behind it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And then if you are needing to learn things line by line, and honestly, there are some things like when I go on camera, I'm just relying on my skill set. I never have a script. Now and then we'll write down a couple of points when I know that it's important that I hit a couple of things, particularly if it's something like an advertising video.
Yeah.
I've recorded videos that were great and then I've gone and watched it and gone, I just completely forgot to tell them when that training starts, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's just something that I can naturally do off the cuff now because I know my material so well. I know my content. I know this stuff. And obviously I've got the skill set. I know what I'm able to do and able to do it confidently.
Yeah.
But if it's something that you need to learn certain points or facts and figures, that sort of thing, there are a whole bunch of memory retention tricks that you can do. And, you know, actors obviously have plenty of those things up their sleeve. And we do go into all of that in the training as well. One of the biggest things is being able to learn them with distractions around you, because that is usually the tipping point for when someone will get lost. If they lose their place, if something distracts them, if there's a noise in the room, or they suddenly start thinking outside of that moment, you know, what I've got to say, or I'm aware of myself, any of those things, and it will throw you. So there's tricks to learning the actual content, the lines.
Yeah.
But then there's also an understanding of how the brain and the memory works and how important it is to learn the content and be so familiar with the content that even distractions around you won't throw you and you won't, you know, stumble and fall on your face if you are actually distracted in the moment.
Yeah. Actually, I think back to a couple of presenters that I've, you know, watched regularly and are really good, and they actually almost say the same thing each time. So you're right. Yeah. To them it's like a normal conversation. It's just rolling off the tongue. They know the stuff so well. And, but if you've got to write the speech the night before or even the week before, because, you know, you don't often have time, you don't have a whole week studying it, and then you've got to present it, it's like that's when I think it probably comes unstuck. So you're right. You've got to know your topic. And assuming that if this is your passion, And you know what you do. It's, I guess we also touched on it earlier, is actually making sure that your passion relates to the audience and they're involved. So it's, making sure maybe someone else has checked your script or the type of content you're presenting, if it's a new piece and things to, I even remember someone suggesting that you actually record yourself delivering it and watch it back, or even get someone else to watch it back and see how they respond to it. Just is that worth doing?
Yes and no.
Okay.
You can do that, of course, to help you. But at the end of the day, one of the big issues that people have when they're presenting is their own self-awareness. So if you practice in front of a mirror, or you practice to camera and then you're watching it, you're actually making yourself more aware of you and what you do or don't do at certain times. Now, when you're learning the skill set, yes, absolutely, I recommend doing that, because you want to make sure that you're hitting the right notes and you're doing it properly, you're doing it well, and that you're putting all of these different things that you've learned together and it's actually working, right?
Yeah.
But if you're doing it to, like you said, you know, you've got a speech that you've had thrown at you the night before, the week before, whatever, I don't recommend doing it, because you're going to get in your own head, you're going to get nervous, you're going to get worked up. And when you're trying to deliver it, you're going to remember, oh, that's right, at this point I did that, I've got to make sure I don't do that. And, oh, yeah, I did do that, and I want to try and incorporate that. And what are you doing? You're thinking about something else. You're not present in the moment, and you're not present with the content and your audience, which is instantly going to disconnect you from your audience, and they are going to tune out. So that's why I don't recommend that. But if you know your skill set already, and you know how to present really effectively already, then it doesn't matter if you're thrown something the night before or the week before. You can sit down and you can memorize that text.
Yeah.
And then you can go and rely on your skill set when you deliver it.
Yeah.
And that's really what this is about. It's giving you the foundations that you need to go into any situation and confidently master it and be confident that you are going to be able to effectively reach your audience and connect with them in the way that you are hoping to from that situation.
It's really, really interesting, Amanda, talking to you. I have to say, I'm feeling somewhat inadequate now. So I should come and do your course myself. No, I didn't mean that you didn't make me, I should have put my foot in the mouth a bit there, but nevertheless, I can see how much more is involved than it's just words. I mean, we could talk for ages, because even, you talked, the first mouthful of your sentence introduction was like gestures and things, and I know hand movements and having an open hand rather than a downward hand.
That's right.
All those sorts of things come into play. So clearly there's lots to this thing of communication and presentations, and I reckon the best solution is for people to get in touch with you, Amanda, and just do what you've done and where you've innovated this is that you've taken this to being a bit of an online, you can do it in any sort of way that suits people and their training, but you have made it online. And I know Eric's was really impressed with your online, the way you'd put it together and the different tools and homework and all sorts of things that you really had put together with that. So firstly, congratulations. But how can people get involved? How do they find Rewards Drama?
Well, actually, it's really simple. It's just rewardsdrama.com.
Well, and they can't get any simpler than that. So
exactly.
We will put a link underneath the podcast to your website and some information on how they can get involved in some of your training. But I know there's a lot. It's actually quite an involved topic, and clearly we could.
It is, yeah. And most people don't realize that. And one of the things I find with any new client is pretty much inevitably that's one of the first things that they say, wow, I had no idea there was this much stuff involved.
Yeah.
And so many people who do maybe public speaking training or communication training or on-camera training, They're touching on one part of it or maybe a couple of parts, but what I actually do is bring everything together. So it's your presentation for on stage and on camera, obviously, but it's also, it's all of the nuances that you need. It's covering everything together. And that really is something that you only get from the acting and directing training. And that's another thing, that it's not just the acting training, because some things I've learned as a trained director and experienced director that aren't actually included for actors, because it's a completely different skill set. It's a different job.
Right.
And there are some overlaps, of course, but there are things in my training that are specific to directors as opposed to just actors. So it's bringing everything that you need to know. It's bringing it all in together. And I, even going, you know, just foundational level and the things that people need to know, even just doing that, there's still a massive amount of information in there, and there's just so many things that are in there that are all incorporated and all work together to, you know, help people be the best that they can be and actually reach their audience.
Yeah, I just love it, because in the end, again, just to reiterate, for if you've, you know, and I've been there, done that, I've been in front of, you know, trying to present a pitch to investors and all that sort of stuff. And, oh, boy, I wish I had some better skills back then. I might have got a little bit more money out of them. But it's so important. And, you know, for the small investment in doing some training and understanding that whole communication process, it's so rewarding to be able to have people understand what you're talking about. So I better wrap this up, because Amanda, because I really do think we would nattle on for ages. It's really good. Thank you so much for joining us today.
And you are so welcome.
I'm sure people listening got some valuable information and at least a better understanding that presentation skills isn't just a matter of following what Steve Jobs did or reading a, you know, couple of blogs online. And yes, that all helps, but nothing like training from someone who seriously knows their stuff. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. I'm so honored.
Absolute pleasure. Take care. Bye.
Bye.